member of the Mayo Clinic Care Network.
Start the right way with Keith and Dawn every weekday morning, 6 to 10 a.m.
Morning, sunshine.
This is it.
On Mix 96.7 WBVI.
We have 12 minutes after 9 o'clock in the morning. We are so pleased to have with us on the other end of our line a gentleman whose name is Greg, and he has been through the COVID-19 scare professionally. He's in the healthcare business, and he actually went through it and was tested as a positive. Good morning, Greg.
Morning.
Tell us a little bit about how this all came about. As I understand it, you thought you had an ear infection or something, and that's what you thought it was for some time.
Yeah, probably about a week and a half before I tested, I had a little fever and some pain in my right ear, and so they gave me an antibiotic for an ear infection, and it seemed to be healing. Then that was right before Easter. Then Easter night, I was sitting here, and my fever shot up to 104.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, it felt like my left ear was going to blow out the side of my head.
Wow.
And so I stayed home from work a couple days, and I just kind of, you know, wore down from the fever. Tylenol and stuff. I didn't have a fever, so I went back to work on, would have been a Wednesday. And I went through the little screening that you have to do before we can go to work. And I was there for like 2 hours, and the ladies that I were working with, they said, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine." Then in two hours, I couldn't even walk across the room without just about passing out from not getting any air.
When you say these screening, what is it that in and you don't, please don't give away where you work, but what is it that they have you do?
Well, they just basically ask if you've had, you know, any symptoms, any fever, check your temperature, and, you know, any cough, or, you know, just basic questions like that. But I explained to them what was going on in case I did have a little bit of a fever. But after that really high fever, I took some Tylenol, and then it was back down to normal. And the mm-hmm. whole time I was sick, I never even really had a fever. It was just that one time when it spiked really high is where it was only, you know, where I got concerned.
So when you were at work and you felt like you were about to pass out, tell us what you were feeling then.
Well, I was afraid that's what it was, just because of, you know, just not being able to, breathe. But I wasn't like, I never experienced any of the chest pain that everybody said. But again, I was still taking, you know, Tylenol and stuff for just to keep for the ear.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then they put me in a wheelchair and wheeled me over to the ER, and just the people that I, you know, work with in the ER, just the looks on their faces when they saw them wheel me over, they knew it wasn't going to be not good. But yeah, I mean, I was concerned. That's what it was. And working in healthcare for probably since the first or second week of March, I hadn't had much contact with my daughters, just because I didn't, you know, I didn't want to get it at work or something and be exposed to it, mm-hmm. and then expose it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so on Easter, I'm like, it's been about a month. I'm like, girls, I'm going to come over and I'll get some food and we'll have, you know, sit and have Easter lunch. So it was my two daughters and my ex-wife and I were sitting there then eating lunch, and I came home, and then I got that fever. I'm like, and really the main concern was like, crap, did I just expose, you know, my two kids mm-hmm. to this? So they actually had to quarantine themselves for 2 weeks just to make sure they didn't. And thank goodness they all came through fine.
Greg, when you were wheeled over to the emergency room and were tested, what were you tested, number one, and if so, how was the test performed?
Yeah, well, the first thing they did is they did a CT scan to look at my lungs, because the radiologist can see it fairly well on the, sorry, they decided to mow today, let me move here. and they could tell, and that came back pretty conclusive. So then they did the nasal swab test, which honestly I didn't think it was that bad. Everybody says it's like it feels like they're pulling their brain or their insides out, but I mean it was real quick. But the only part is it took them 2 days to get the actual results back of the test.
And were you in the hospital at this time, hospitalized?
Yes, actually they took me over to right from the ER to a different hospital where they were
keeping
they had set up
patients?
Just for the right. They had a COVID unit over there.
Right. And when they finally told you that it was positive, what did you feel? What was going through your head at that time?
You know, still mainly concerned for the kids because I mean physically I didn't feel bad. I was just it's not like I couldn't breathe. Like I could still walk short distances and stuff. It's just like my oxygen saturation levels just kept dropping and dropping. And at that point when they told me I was positive, I was only on a little bit of oxygen on a nasal cannula. And so that was, and then before they even had the test back, the doctors, you know, saw where I worked and stuff. And they said, we're going to start treating you with the malaria medicine that they're using.
Mm-hmm.
So that was,
did that seem to help?
See, I can't tell because honestly, at the first couple of days is when they started, they gave it to me started on Thursday. And like by Saturday, I was on as much oxygen as they could give me. And the doctor said, you know, it's not getting any better, but if it gets any worse, they were going to have to put me on a breathing machine. That's when I basically had like a meltdown.
Sure.
You know,
I mean, when they mentioned
because you're thinking,
a ventilator.
Yeah. And you're thinking, you know, what's the, you know, am I not going to see anybody again? Because, you know, you can't have visitors or anything. So thank goodness for cell phones and FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I could, but yeah, you're just sitting there, you're thinking, oh my God, is this how it ends? Because I was on that on high flow oxygen for like probably 6 or 7 days while I was in there before they could start finally weaning me down to, you know, to finally get off of it.
Can you compare the feeling of this illness to anything else that you've had in your life, any flu or anything like that?
It was kind of scary because it kind of snuck up, you know, like I said, the ear infection, you know, because I even asked the doctor at the hospital, I said, you know, I've had these ear infections. The one doctor said, well, that could have been the start of it. And the other one didn't think so. So it's just kind of the not knowing part,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're sitting there, you can't, and it's not like I was like trying to breathe. I was breathing what I thought was normal.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I was breathing in dirty air the whole time.
You couldn't get your lungs to
full
capacity?
Yeah, I mean, it was really like nothing else because
I cough?
Had like one. What's that?
No cough?
No, I did not have a cough. But while I was in the hospital, they did have me on a couple of different cough medicines.
Mm-hmm.
But what the doctor explained to me is that was not really for me. That was more for my nurses and stuff,
mm-hmm, sure.
You know, in case, you know, to keep everything
in
down.
Right, right.
Yeah.
How long has it been since you have tested negative or been recovered from COVID?
Well, I haven't taken another test because, I've been home for 2 weeks. I was in the hospital for 2 weeks and quarantined at home for a week. And I've been home for 2 weeks and I just went back to work. But I still, they said it could be a couple months before I feel, you know, kind of back to normal.
Are they going to retest you?
As of now, nobody has said anything. they said, you know, when I called to get the clearance to go back to work, they said since it had been like 21 days since my symptoms started, I haven't had a fever or any new symptoms.
At what point during this did you realize that you were going to make it and those fears that you had kind of went away?
Well, the biggest thing is finding out nobody else, you know, had it was a big relief then. Once they were able to take me off of the 15 liters of oxygen and get it back down to 8, and then the nurse kept going, you know, saying, hey, you know, if you do okay on this until, you know, morning, we're going to bump it back down a little. We're going to bring it down more. Just when you can start to see, mm-hmm. when I start to see progress as far as getting off, you know, the oxygen.
And do you feel now, you say you still don't feel 100%, you feel weak? Is that what it is?
Yeah, weak, and then sometimes I get short of breath.
Are there any other lingering sound effects besides the breathing and the breath?
No, I really haven't had any. And they don't need, I mean, when I left, I was expecting, oh, here's going to be a handful of pills and stuff. I had no medications for it. You know, and they do say, you know, I don't know if you've heard that they're pushing people who have it to lay on their stomachs to, mm-hmm. to breathe, to help. And honestly, that does work because a lot of the communications, the doctors wouldn't come in. They would just call me on the phone, you know, from inside the hospital. Mm-hmm. And the nurses would watch, and they would call me on my call light and say, hey, can you lay on your stomach for a little bit? Your sats are starting to drop. And then I would lay on my stomach, and, you know, they said they would go from like 85 to 92 almost instantly because it's keeping the pressure off your lungs a lot.
Wow. All right. Well, we appreciate your time, and we're glad that you're feeling better, and we're glad that the rest of the family is good too, and your girls are good. And we wish you the very best. And believe me, we thank you for taking
very
the time,
much so.
Because you know, hearing it firsthand from somebody means a heck of a lot more than hearing a bunch of stats all the time.
That's one thing that concerned me too, is because, you know, everybody sees it on the news and all they see is the worst of it. But, you know, it was bad, it was rough, but, you know, you see it because you don't see anybody, very rarely do you see, they show anybody walking out of the, you know, the hospital or whatnot. Mm-hmm. They would show like the negative, but yeah. And it's, you, without the support of my family and friends and everything, and especially my ex-wife, she was very good about, we would communicate like every day, and then she would put Facebook posts out to my, mm-hmm. you know, messages out to my family to keep them updated, because, you know, some days you just didn't want to talk to anybody. But, you know, I really appreciate her for that.
All right.
Greg, if there's
and
one...
And was the answer you were looking for Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Yes, very good.
I had it on, then it cut out. Then I was like, yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's funny. Hey, we want to leave... If there is one word of advice that you could give to people out there that are either experiencing this or think they may have it, or people that are just out there in general, what would it be about COVID?
Just honestly, just from what I've seen since I've been home, going to the grocery and whatnot, just be smart. You know, wear the mask for now. You know, don't wear your gloves in the store, because all you're doing is spreading it. Because if you're wearing gloves the whole time, it's like you're not wearing gloves.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
You know, because you're just spreading the germs on the gloves instead of your hands and everything you touch. Yeah, and just, you know, follow the rules for a little bit so we can all get through this and get back to some sense of normalcy for a little bit, so, you know, everything get back on track. That's the only thing I have. And if you have it, just, you know, do what they tell you and lay on your belly.
All right. Thank you so much,
Greg. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Take care.
All right.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Be safe.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Greg, who was in the healthcare business and contracted COVID-19.
And has come out the other end and is okay. Some lasting side effects, like you said, with the breathing, but other than that, he's good.
Yeah. In a little bit, we'll be talking with his ex-wife and her experience in the same way and what she felt about her girls and how they are now.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be coming up at around 9:40 this morning, right here on
Mix 96.7.
Cross your fingers. The Fostoria Farmers Market is set for Saturday, May 16th. Due to COVID-19, the first market in May had to be canceled. Plans are now in place to host the Let's Go Gardening Market, sponsored by Creative Concepts Landscaping at the corner of Tiffin and Main Streets in downtown Fostoria. The market will be open from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Like everything now, there are COVID-19 guidelines, so please honor social distancing, wear a mask, and any extra activities are now on hold. Please support your local Fostoria Farmers